Trin had rescued Lady Evie from Shandagarl herself, and Trin's husband, Gehalatine, had dispatched one of his wisers to retrieve Iago from a ship that still had yet to make it to the Forbidden Court. It almost made Trin smile to think about how upset Iago had been to miss all the action at Dundrennan. He had complained vocally about it until his wife, rather patiently, had suggested he count his blessings instead. Adabirian had been attacked and defeated, and now engineers and builders from Shandagarl were reconstructing the defenses and beginning improvements on the harbor. Iago and Lady Evie held hands as they listened to the evidence of the case. That simple evidence of their love for each other made the chair next to Trin, the one meant for her own husband, feel more conspicuously empty. She glanced at the others at the table, at the dukes of East Stowe and Southport. Finally, her gaze found Fallon, brooding as he stared at Lord Amrian, his face a mixture of pain and anger. His eyes shifted to meet hers, betraying deep suffering. They had not spoken since the battle. He had remained in Dundrennan to guard Morwenna and Dragan, and had then escorted the prisoners to King Fountain under heavy guard. To prevent Morwenna from escaping, Gehalatine had revealed the use of the astrolabe, a device that he and many of his people wore around their necks. It was a metal ring of sorts, surrounded with spokes, almost like a sunburst in appearance. But its purpose was to enable the wearer to see the invisible ley lines. Armed with them, Morwenna's guards had been able to ensure she was kept away from the ley lines, thus preventing her from using her fountain magic to escape. She had promised to submit to the judgment of the council, declaring that she had been a pawn of the wiser Rucrius, whose control over her was now gone. Trin looked away from Fallon, wondering if she should try to speak to him following the meeting. She was preparing to go to Shandagarl to participate in the coronation ceremony that would officially make her Gehalatine's queen. She was nervous and excited, and part of her wanted to share those emotions with Fallon, as a friend. She hoped that her marriage would help him finally overcome his feelings for her. Now that she was wed to another, she had forced her own feelings for him into a cage deep inside her.
"I think the facts of the case," Lord Amrian said as he paced around the ring table, drawing near to where she was sitting and capturing her attention, "are confusing and muddled at best. I have no fewer than 12 witnesses who swear the man in custody is the thief Dragan. We have the sworn word of Duke Fallon, who lured and trapped him."
His tone showed his respect.
"I must give you credit, lad. For all my resources with the Espeon, I couldn't do it."
Trin shot a look at Fallon, who shrugged as if the compliment meant little to him. He made no reply.
"The problem, as I explained," Lord Amrian continued, "is that the man has suffered a strange form of amnesia. He does not know his own name. He has no idea where he is from. Curiously, he still has the ability to steal, and every time the Espeon searches him, they find small things he has stolen from his jailers here in the palace. He's being held in Hollistern Tower at the moment, awaiting the judgment of this council."
Duke Raimi leaned forward in his seat with a disbelieving scowl.
"Is there really any point debating this? The man is a thief and a liar. He tried to kill Lord Owen. Throw him in the river and let's be done with it. Next case."
"We can't throw him in the river," Lady Evie said, shaking her head. "He's fountain blessed."
Duke Raimi reddened.
"Maybe we could try several times," he said with a hint of malice. "Or fill the boat with chains."
Iago smirked at the statement.
"I can't say I disagree with the sentiment," he said with his amiable brogue. "The only good serpent is a dead one. But why risk executing a fountain blessed in the river? Should we not take the man to the mountaintop and let him freeze? Is there anyone at the table who objects? Based on all the things Lord Kevin has told us, some of which I didn't even know, the man is a villain. Let's get to the king's sister."